It's no joke how many of us are longing to get to the other side of this pandemic. Most of us have also noticed that shortcuts and easy answers don't tend to give us the other side that we'd hope for. In this episode, Tim Kennedy wonders at how we might find some new space by simply asking the question, is this working anymore?
Greetings and welcome in. My name is Tim Kennedy. I'm a part of the Fabric community. I live in Minneapolis, and I now work as a media specialist after 19 years as an elementary classroom teacher. When Melissa first contacted me about doing this podcast, she asked me to think about voices that are energizing me during these very strange days. Under normal circumstances, I'd be able to list off a half dozen authors or musicians without even thinking about it. But after sitting with that question for a while, I started to realize that I wasn't feeling energized at all. In fact, the only thing I really felt was heavy. I told Melissa I didn't think I was the right person for the job. As you can clearly tell, she convinced me otherwise and encouraged me to have a conversation with two artists and educators from the Fabric community, Adam Johnson and Eddie Hamilton. Melissa considers artists imaginers of the other side. I like that idea. My hope was that talking with Adam and Eddie might help me imagine and move towards a better place than where I was currently stuck. Both of my podcast partners today live in Minneapolis and are responding to our current moment through their art. More on that shortly. But first, let's meet Adam and Eddie.
My name is Adam Johnson. I've been teaching for 10 years here in the United States, and I taught for 5 years in Central America and West Africa before that. And I taught for 5 years in the South Bronx and 5 years in Los Angeles, and just finished my first year here back in Minneapolis. I've taught in some places that I've found really challenging, just a lot of turnover, teacher turnover, administration turnover. And so art has always been a way for me to build relationships with my students, from integrating it to the math curriculum, to starting after school art clubs. And so I've always been into art, but I really got into it when I started teaching here in the United States. Right now, like as my style has changed over the years, we worked with a lot of graffiti street artists in New York City. So I got really into using spray paints, and I do portraits.
Hi, Eddie Hamilton. And I've lived in Minneapolis the last 14 years or so in Powderhorn Park. And I've been teaching about the last 8 years. It'll be my fifth year teaching at Lake Nokomis Keewaydin. Right now I'm in the elementary Setting 3 autism program. Coming up on my third year. And it's kind of always where I saw myself when I went into teaching, but it took me quite a few years to get there. I'm also an artist. Right now I'm doing oil paintings, and my mantra right now is I paint what I see and I paint what I feel. And that can kind of take me anywhere, but it's been taking me to a lot of nature, looking for peaceful, quiet scenes. How do I capture that? Open spaces. That's kind of what I'm drawn to right now. So that's what's coming out in my work. And I think with everything that's going on in our neighborhood and city, and just having a young family, how are we gonna make these decisions for all these kids? And so that makes sense that my art has kind of gone from chaotic and kind of crazy to this more balanced, quiet, simple thing.
The idea of balance intrigued me, so I asked Eddie to expand on what he meant.
When I do too much of one thing or do too much of something in one way, like you paint the same way all the time without exploring or trying something new or trying a new audience or doing something different, it loses all its appeal that you started doing it for. So you look for where's the balance and where's that energy that got me to want to do this. In the classrooms that I work with and the kids I work with, it's constantly trying to find that strategy or intervention that's going to help them move forward academically, socially, whatever. And every 6 weeks or so, if it's not working, if your data is showing this, sometimes you don't even need to look at your data, you know pretty early on this isn't going to work. But if it's not working, then you you change, you shift because you're trying to find that what's going to work. And that happens in life too. We have to constantly, I constantly ask, is this working for me anymore? And so to constantly evaluate, like even with my, with the art, with my health, with everything, I constantly am kind of questioning, okay, where am I at?
During my conversation with Adam, I could tell that he and Ciara have been doing this a lot lately, evaluating where they're at and asking, is this working anymore? Let's listen as Adam talks about how they've answered that question over the past year.
Ciara, my partner, and I, we moved back to Minneapolis a little over a year ago. I was teaching at a really cool school. It was dual language. It was a mix of low-income families with other families who wanted their kids to learn Spanish, and you know, parents from both sides were best friends. It created a really cool dynamic. And so even being at that cool school in Los Angeles, I was still feeling a little burnt out. Long work days, teaching multiple subjects in multiple languages. So, my father passed away, and that was the catalyst to bring us here to Minneapolis to help my mom and just get away from a very expensive cost of living. And moving to a new school is very difficult, right? You're the new guy in the building. Got to build all those relationships again. And, you know, my heart just wasn't in it 100%. I'm still feeling that burnout. I told my principal about 4 days ago that I'm not coming back. Ciara and my son, Tobias, he has autism. And we have a daughter who's 5. And just with distance learning going on and having that flexible schedule of not being a teacher and being able to work a little on a painting at night and being there for the kids to make sure that they're learning through experiences and staying on top of the work that their teacher does assign, that we're willing to make that jump and that risk right now.
I've been thinking a lot too about priorities, and as we're making decisions, it's family first, what making sure I have everything done for my family right. And then comes the teaching and the art and the other stuff. But first, it's been hard being home with the kids and keeping them engaged in anything and things getting canceled nonstop. But just to be there for them is like number one, easy number one.
Both Adam and Eddie figured out things weren't working for them anymore and moved to a new space. When I think about it, I know things aren't working right now, but I'm not sure how to find that new space. How do I know what direction to go? For Eddie and Adam, it turns out to be more about doing than thinking.
The phrase I've been using recently is, how can you be honest with yourself? And to surprise yourself. One of the surprises I've had recently, I've been writing a lot over the summer. I have the art blog, which is just a small portion of what I've been writing. Sometimes I'll write for an hour in the morning, and I don't even know really if it's for anything, but I'll just write a bunch. I started a health blog, and I started putting a bunch of stuff on there. I've got like this 20-page thing that I wrote recently. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, but I've been really interested in identities and healthy identities for myself, and I'm trying to get my head around it, and I've used writing to try to get my head around it, and I'm using the phrase like being honest with yourself.
Right after the murder of George Floyd, I wanted to paint a picture of him, but I was scared to. I was so scared to look at his picture and interpret the picture and paint it. It took me 3 days, and these are the days when, you know, at night, South Minneapolis or Minneapolis in general, we were a little nervous because you could hear noise outside and you could see on the news and you could see on Unicorn Riot the people were burning stuff. They were upset. And I looked at his picture, and what I did is I painted a picture of his high school yearbook picture. I couldn't paint the one, the picture that everyone saw of him, the selfie in front of the brick wall. So I painted a picture of his high school yearbook, black and white. And I stayed up all night for three nights painting it. And I took it to 38th in Chicago. And there was a lot of other art there, and there was flowers. And I brought my daughter with, Frida. And I left it there, and I kind of stood next to it. And people would ask me about it because they didn't know who it was. It looked like him, but it didn't. They were used to the other image. And as I spoke about the painting and who it was, and it was George Floyd while he was in high school at Yates High School in Houston, I got liberated from my fears of painting him. In the past 2 months, I created a portrait of George Floyd, Elijah McClain, Vanessa Guillen, and Breonna Taylor. And with the help of donations, we've created hundreds of signs, lawn signs, but they can be put in windows too. And we're sending them all over the United States of America. I don't want it to be about me, and I don't want to write my name on any of the paintings. It's just a way for me to, I guess, try to express myself and what's happening, and also tell the stories of these individuals.
Fabric often uses a three-stranded rope metaphor to talk about the interconnections between ourselves, others, and that thing that is outside of us. I personally call that third strand God, and I suspect that God might enter into this process for me. I asked Eddie and Adam about how the third strand enters into it for them.
I quit drinking 2.5 years ago or so, and I did a lot of reading and listening when I made that decision, and a lot of programs and people who have gone through that talk about a higher power, and they'll refer to it as God, and sometimes they say, well, it can't be God because we're not religious, so we're calling it a higher power, and it's whatever you want it to be. It didn't take long for me to think about nature. I think a lot of people do that. I just need to be someplace green with the breeze blowing, and that's really going to ground me, and then I can think and I'll be good. And I think that stays true. My artwork has kind of gone more to nature theme, and I think that's part of the reason why I've gone that way, is just to feel connected to the earth and something. And so just that's one way I've been thinking about the third strand, is again, it comes back to, am I at that balance point? And what do I need to be there? I think it's more knowing what you need than it being nature. I think knowing that I need balance is the more important thing. And knowing that I need have places that I can go to get that and connect with that, and what not to do to lose balance. And nature is an easy place for me to find that.
Yeah, I think I just kind of zone out when I start painting, and time can pass, 3 hours can pass, and I can make Ciara upset with me because it's 2 a.m. and I didn't help her get the kids to bed. In high school, I stopped drawing. I stopped painting. I stopped doing art. Maybe it was cultural pressure that maybe sports was cooler, or I don't know. I just stopped drawing. And I came back to it later in life. It feels good again. And I think that's how God speaks to us in a lot of ways, is just like, in our hearts, do you feel good? And Ciara and I, and we always talk about that. It's, you got to listen to your heart. And I know that sounds beautiful and kind of cheesy. And, you know, there's a lot of things that could prevent you from doing that, especially if you have financial pressures and other things you have to do that prevent you from doing exactly what's in your heart. But I definitely would say that's the third strand, that I can't wait to go into my basement when the kids are asleep and work on a project.
When I heard Eddie talking about finding balance and how time doesn't seem to exist for Adam when he's painting, it reminded me of when Greg, the pastor at Fabric, talked about being aligned with God's righteousness. Now, that phrase sounds really churchy, but all it means is that there are certain moments when we're completely in sync with who God is. As a musician, I think about tuning a guitar. When two strings are out of tune, you can hear a wave. As those strings come into tune, the wave disappears and the strings work together perfectly. I think that might be what Eddie and Adam were describing here, the peace that comes with being in alignment with God's rightness. To wrap things up, I asked if Eddie or Adam had experienced any positives as a result of this unusual time, and what their hopes are going forward.
I think for me, the first thing that comes to mind is hopefully people remember and realize that what's important in their lives, that things are fragile, that you can't really take things for granted. Like Adam, I'm going to take time to be with my kids. They're young. They need me. I'm going to do it. People take that time for granted and don't reflect and say, well, but I got to work. I got to make money because I want to do this and this and this. And to take that time to say, you know what? What's really important right now are these kids. And this is my only time for them to be this age. I'm going to be there for these kids now. So hopefully the pandemic is a good thing that can come out of it, is maybe there's other couples that are having that same discussion and saying, you know what? Maybe we don't need that and that, and one of us could stay home this year and we could be here for the kids, because last spring didn't work for anybody.
Personally for me, the positive, the number one positive that has come out of the pandemic is building a much stronger relationship with my son. He's only three, so we haven't known each other that long. And since he's been born, I've been working a lot. And mom was there a lot with him. He has a very close relationship with Ciara. And I was kind of like the guy that would show up at night and sit next to them and eat dinner and help with the bath. But we weren't best buddies. And I'll tell you now, we are best buddies. Leaving teaching was hard. But building that strong relationship with my son, with Tobias, has made it easy to leave. And I just want to pour my life into him. It's almost like retiring at 40, sitting down with Ciara and budgeting, not eating out as much because we're busy and we have to eat out, right? Not buying as many clothes, cutting out a lot of stuff that just we didn't need to buy, but since we were busy and felt like we needed to go to the mall on the weekend, we would buy stuff. I think that's a story of a lot of our lives. And so to slow down and really talk about and budget, we're going to be okay.
I don't have it all figured out after talking with Adam and Eddie, but I do feel like I have some next steps to take. Over the next week, I encourage you to join me in asking, is this working for me anymore? Whatever this may be. And if not, figure out something you can do that might help you move in the right direction. For Eddie, that's been writing. Adam has been painting it out. Find what works for you. And then, as Adam and the band Heart once said, listen to your heart. It'll let you know when you're in tune. Thank you for joining us today. You can find Adam's art on his website, mrjohnsonpaints.com, and on Instagram and Facebook at Mr. Johnson Paints. Eddie's work can be found at eddiehamiltonart.com.
It's worth keeping this conversation going. Share this podcast with a friend, and you can find resources for discussions and other notes about this episode at our website, fabricmpls.com. You can also go to our contact page or reach out to us on social media to share your feedback and experiences, because Fabric isn't an organization sharing novel ideas. It's a community of people becoming more deeply woven. Thanks for being part of it.